Hi, this is Iris Jackson, and this is Miracles Happen, Dreams Do Come True. And I just am so grateful for a dream of mine coming true, to work with, to support, to be part of the team, the empowerment of those who are changing the world and living their dreams. And living a life of daily miracles. And with that, I want to, if you don't know him, introduce you to the fabulous John Randolph Price. Thank you for being here, John.
Well, it's such a pleasure being with you again, Iris. It's always wonderful just being in your company.
Oh, thank you. Maybe it's partly because I appreciate you so much. I appreciate your beautiful marriage with Jan. How long have you been married?
Let's see, 56 years.
56 years. And you can tell everything about your relationship. For me, all I have to hear is Jan says, John. The way she says it. And you know, I sort of look at marriages by what do they produce? What does the partnership produce? Is it something that's blossoming and thriving and pouring out good to the whole world? And that is what you and Jan do consistently.
Well, thank you, Iris.
And working together so beautifully.
Well, it's fun to be together and to work together. We've been doing this ever since I got out of the advertising agency business back in the 70s and began to get into spiritual communications. We have worked together. So I, you know, as far as I'm concerned, she contributed a lot to my books. And of course, we work together on the stages when we do our workshops. So it's a cooperative venture and it's a lot of fun.
And it's a daily process of unfolding and thriving and nurturing the world, the world, and serving all life. And I can't thank you enough for all you've given to all life on this planet, and for all we know, it goes on forever to all planets and all solar systems, John.
Well, you're really reaching out there, Iris. Hey, that's good. I like that.
I think it's true. John and Jan, if you don't know, are the creators of the Cordis Foundation. What year did you establish that?
1981 is when we established Cordis, and that tied in with the publishing of The Super Beings, my first book. And I had been told in a meditative state that we should form a group. We should call it Cordis. It was not to be a church or a religion, but a platform for the free exchange of ideas, for the lifting of consciousness. And so that went into the book, and then at the end of 1981 is when we formed the Cordis Foundation. So
and
we're in our, I guess, the 25th year.
And then in 1986, tell us how World Healing Day came forth.
Well, we were doing a workshop in Birmingham, Alabama, and on the this was 1983, and on the plane returning home, we're relaxing, and I leaned back in the chair, and I heard the words, "It is time for world service," and I wrote the message on my napkin. I had no idea what it meant. I didn't know what world service really was all about. And that was in September of 83. And over the next couple of months, Jan and I worked together to listen to that still small voice and to get a greater idea and understanding of what this really meant. And out of this pondering and this listening came the idea that we must form a planetary commission for world healing. That 1987 was going to be a critical year for the planet, and that on December the 31st of 1986, we would gather as many people as possible and a global mind link at noon Greenwich time, which would encompass all the time zones throughout the world. And so from 1983 through 1986, Jan and I traveled all over the country. We did all that we could do to create a greater excitement and enthusiasm for the people to come together. And it worked because, according to the Los Angeles Times, over 400 million people came together. That was the first one.
And 400 million people, John.
Yeah, we had a report from the an institute computer group in Los Angeles that said that was not quite right, that it was over 500 million, because we were in 77 countries, and over 500 million people came together. So we don't know. That was the last that we heard of the participation, but we know that in 1987 it grew, in 1988 it grew, and then we saw the results of this, because it was just absolutely amazing. The Stockholm International Peace Research Institute in 1988 said that the former West German Undersecretary of Defense, who was the president of that organization, said that 1988 has seen a remarkable progress toward a potentially more peaceful world. There was a clear break in the pattern of constant increase in the number of major conflicts. And then we saw, 2 years later, we saw the Berlin Wall come down, the breakup of the Soviet Union. And it was just an amazing thing, because when you get that many people together and release their light, their love, their spiritual energy, then the collective consciousness has to be changed. It has to change. And the reaction, the result, was an era of peace around this world. Peace trees reside in Central and South America. Just amazing things happened all over the world. But you see, the people say, well, why isn't it still working? Well, after a period of time, after, let's say, beginning in the 1990s, people began to withdraw from the participation, although there was a number of people that, millions perhaps, that continued with it, coming together at that one moment in time. It became something of the past, and so we went into another, tailspin with, war and hunger and all kinds of problems. But something very interesting happened, Iris. It was in early this month. Jan and I were doing a meditation, and after the meditation, I said, where do we go from here? And she says, I want there to be a worldwide revival of the Planetary Commission for Global Healing. And I smiled at her and I said, what do you mean by revival? She says, John, I want us to start again. In January of 2010, I want us to start calling people, emailing people, getting press releases out, because she says we need a worldwide revival of this World Healing Day beginning in 2010. And I said, Grace, when did all of this come about? She said, I've been thinking about it. And she said, I want a rededication to the peace that was meant to be. She said, I want to work with prospering peace. And I was just, I got so excited. I said, oh, this is going to be great. And she says, 2011 and 2012 are going to be periods in our history that we need this new focus on peace and prosperity. And let's do our part. Let's see if we can help do this. So, Iris, that's our goal for 2010, is to get the word out again and have a massive, massive gathering in 2011 and 12, and let's see what we can do to make this a more peaceful world.
Well, tell people how we can participate. How can we support you in that? How can we support the planet in this? This is really, really, really important, and I call all the legions of light to support this goal and to bring about this peace now. I wrote a letter to President Obama, and I said, we elected you to end the war, not change the venue.
Yes, yes. Well, the First World Healing League was a grassroots movement. In fact, the Associated Press called us after the December 31st event and said, how did this happen without our participation? And it says, this was done by people, not by the media. And I said, you're absolutely right. I said, to be honest with you, I never thought about doing any press releases. We were just contacting people and organizations. But you see, the word went out, and people began to talk to people. And organizations gathered their people together, churches, synagogues, all over the world began to come together and talk about this all during 83, 84, 85, and 86, so that by the time December 31st of 1986 came about, millions of people wanted to come aboard and participate in this first World Healing Day.
Well, I'm for the revival. How can I support you?
Spread the word. That's what we're telling everybody. Just spread the word.
Spread the word.
We're going to be putting out, you know, press releases. We're going to be sending out bulletins to our entire mailing list, and which you're on. And we're just going to build and build and build, let the momentum begin to swing, and see what happens. Because, you know, this is not our program. This is Spirit's program. It's the light, the love, the organization, so to speak, of this great spiritual energy that we're all a part of. And people say, well, do we need to bring God into this? Well, to me, God is our essence, our spirit. And yes, if we want to see the major change in this world that we're all seeking, then we need to have a more spiritual incentive. We've got to look at it from the standpoint of, this is not just a human thing, but it's got to be a divine thing. And when we can look at it from that perspective, then we can see that nothing is really impossible.
Yes. Nothing is impossible. Nothing is too good to be true. Nothing
That's
is
right.
too wonderful to happen. And nothing is too good to last.
Yes. Yes.
Isn't that in one of your books?
I think so. You know, someone mentioned something the other day. We had our mystery school in October, and someone said, well, John, you wrote about such and such. And I said, I don't remember that. And they went back to the book table and picked up a book and showed it to me, and I thought, well, I don't always remember everything I write.
Well, you know, you live it. It becomes a part of you. It's not, and you're very much in present time. You're not concerned about what went before. It's like next and next.
Next and next.
Yeah, what are we doing now? What are we doing now to expand this? What are we doing to really complete it, to really get the job done? I love that. Revival and rededication to the peace that was meant to be.
Yeah, those are Jan's words, and I was just in awe that she came up with this, because it's really so meaningful for us, and it just shows how sometimes she leads the pack. She gets out there in front with her banner and says, let's go, let's go, here we go. And I love that in her.
And the way all of your books have come together. Now, your new book is Empowerment, right?
No, the last book was Nothing Is Too Good to Be True. Empowerment came out really in the 1990s.
Oh, well, I'm just going from something that my web person put on the announcement he sent out to everyone. So I need some catch up here. I haven't read Empowerment. I don't even know about it. How many books do you have out now?
18.
I was thinking it was 17, but you're always ahead there.
Yeah, it's 18. Now, not all of them are in print anymore, because, you know, publishing companies are very funny about this. If your book doesn't sell, you know, if it's not a bestseller, then they really can't continue to publish it, because they've got to make money too. And if they're not making money on the sales of a book, then they're going to drop it. And my book, The Love Book, was dropped. empowerment, they've dropped it. Hay House has dropped empowerment. And, but there's still some copies out there on, you know, Amazon and different places. But, our objective is to get those books, back in print, which is one of our New Year's resolutions is to do that. And I think we can do it.
Well, I think that's very important. And I think at the time that they came out, John, they were planting the seeds, but it wasn't ready. It was not hatching time. Do you know
yeah.
what I mean? It was like
yeah.
they were so far ahead of their time, and your works, all of the things that have come through you, I have found to be so deeply profound and requiring deep study. And you know, I think that many people have just come into that discipline of deep study because nothing else has worked.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes, I do. Yeah.
It takes some discipline and applying yourself to see.
You know, I asked a super being when I was writing that book, the super beings, I said, why aren't more people more evolved? Why aren't there more spiritual masters out there who have overcome insufficiency and illness? And he interrupted me, John, it's because they're lazy. They have a lazy mind. They don't want to be disciplined and dedicated because that isn't fun to them. And my comment was that the greatest fun and the greatest happiness is to work with these spiritual principles and to watch your consciousness change. And as you become not enlightened, but a more progressive individual that has more greater joy and love in life. You know, it's okay to be your nose to the grindstone and to be successful, but it's also an understanding that success comes from consciousness. Financial independence comes from consciousness. And the wholeness of mind and body comes from a state of consciousness. So it's putting the horse before the cart. Because if all we're trying to do is to think about effects out there and how we can have more money and how we can have a bigger house and a finer car and so forth, we're missing the boat. But if we can go in and have a greater understanding of that presence, that spiritual presence within us, and understand there is but one presence, one power, one law, one activity that's really meaningful and divine, and let our consciousness change, then we begin to have more money, we begin to have greater health, we begin to have more wonderful relationships, and our life really turns around, our world turns around. But if we go after the effects first without going to the source and to the cause of the effect, then, you know, we've got the wrong alignment with spirit.
Well, we've got the serving two masters kind of thing.
That's right. That's right.
And
we can't do that.
You know, the only perfection I care about, John, comes out of the instruction that I get when I'm really being quiet and listening for the voice of God. And I choose to be in a place where I am hearing that all the time. Like,
yes, yes.
I'm choosing to feel the presence of God, to hear God's voice, to know God's will, to do God's will. And that is the greatest joy there is. And there's also, you know, I think a lot of people think that would be the nose to the grindstone, but truly that discipline for me is feeding my soul. It's like stopping the busy work. I don't care what I said, needed to get done today. What really needs to get done here?
Yeah, yeah. Jen loves to say happiness is holy. And the greatest happiness comes from when we are in tune with that source within, that cause within, that presence within. And we can receive guidance every day by, you use the word listening, through that listening to that still small voice that sometimes booms into consciousness. By listening, we can be guided and guarded and protected, and it's living a different kind of life. And I know that there are more and more people each day literally coming alive with spirit, whether they're, no matter what country, what religion, whatever, they're beginning to feel differently because of that discipline, because of that dedication to the principles, and they're seeing things differently. And we have a lot of friends that are not into what we would call new thought, but they are beginning to see things differently. The world is changing, but, you know, we need to get into that, releasing that spiritual energy from millions and millions of people in order to for it to be a sustaining thing on this planet.
Well, and, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you. I didn't mean to interrupt you, John. Go ahead. Are you there?
Yeah, you're getting I missed what you said.
Oh, I said I didn't mean to interrupt you.
Oh, I didn't think you did. I was just talking.
Well, I think that the important thing is, I think whatever we say about it, it really is a democratic process on this planet. And when you participate in the World Healing Day, the World Healing Meditation, you are voting for what you want.
Oh, and I love that, yes.
You are voting. You are saying, this is my will for this planet, and we are responsible for this planet. This is our front yard. This is our family. This is what we've been given to work with. And so let's return it to the real heart of God, to the real will of God. And, you know, I think one of the things people don't devote themselves to that dedication is that thinking it'll be too much work. And I actually find that I have more resting time, that what I do is more effective. And I have more resting time. I have more time to just read or, you know, cuddle with my cats or pick flowers or whatever I want to do as I follow this path and this guidance, because it's much more simple.
Oh, what you have said is just absolutely magnificently wonderful. But cuddling with your cat and with your flowers, you have a beautiful consciousness, and I just love you.
Thank you, John. Likewise. And you know, also, the entering into the kingdom of heaven is becoming as a little child. And a few years ago, I started thinking, you know, just different things that would happen. Like if I got sick, I would beat myself up and say, "How did I cause this?" and stuff. And I thought, when I was a child, and I was sick, it wasn't wrong. I mean, it meant my grandparents were going to come over and bring Seven Up, you know.
Good.
It meant that I could watch cartoons. It meant that I didn't have to go to school. And, you know, it was all of these different things that I wanted. And I thought, well, if I was a little kid, I would just let myself, you know, relax into it and heal as I healed. And have a good time while I'm doing it.
Yeah.
So, you know, I just think it's real important to say, you know, what would I like here if I was a child? And it's much more simple things than we have sort of delineated are important. And
we have trouble sometimes. The general population, let me put it that way, has trouble living a simple life, an unrestricted life. But this is the kind of life that we're supposed to live. And if we can relax and let spirit work through us and enjoy it and be more childlike, as you said, and, you know, to make it a priority to live a more joyous, loving, peaceful life, then it's amazing what happens in the outer world, our outer world. Things become more harmonious. If something happens to the body, it quickly heals itself. And we don't have to worry as much about the finance, regardless of what is happening in the national or world economy. If we're in the right alignment with Spirit and understand that abundance is our divine inheritance, that it is a part of our life, then things begin to ease, things begin to work out, even without us having to do anything. And if there is a particular assignment, so to speak, we will receive it from within. And then as we follow it and follow up on any guidance, then divine order comes into our lives and things become even more harmonious. So it's working together with Spirit in a cooperative way. I like that better than a co-creation, because Spirit cooperates, we cooperate with Spirit, and that makes a dance of oneness. And when we are dancing in that oneness step, then magical and marvelous and miraculous things begin to happen.
Working with Spirit in cooperative, how did you put it? I'm writing this down.
Well, it's a cooperative a feeling and a mindset of being in cooperation with yourself, with that one law, with that one principle, with that presence within, cooperating with it. It sees us as happy and joyous and loving and loved. It sees us as, yes, rich. It sees us as successful. But we so many times see ourselves as failing. We see ourselves as living with scarcity and shortages. We see ourselves as not being loved or liked. We must cooperate with the vision that Spirit has with us, as has of us. And when we do that, we are working in alignment with that divine presence, with that divine vision, and that divine will. And that's what makes it, and people say, I use the word fun too much. I don't think so, because, you know, fun is a part of life. And when we are living with joy, and we are living with love, then life becomes lighter. And as it becomes lighter and lighter, we can have more fun with life. And, you know, when Jan had her near-death experience and spent quite a bit of time across the veil, when she came back, she said, you know, fun is the way it's supposed to be, that happiness is very holy, and that we must take advantage of every moment to live life as according to the bliss, the joy, that is ours by our divine inheritance. So we remind each other of this all the time. Are we having fun? Yes, ma'am, we are, she said. Or yes, sir, she said. So, you know, it's a playful thing. We love to play. And, you know, we do a lot of playing in our workshops, because if it gets too serious and too heavy, then the people lose the message. They lose the quickening. They lose the vibration. So you can keep it light and keep it playful, while at the same time contributing to the upliftment of their consciousness with new ideas, then everyone wins. It's a win-win situation for all concerned.
That's so exciting. That is so, it's so wonderful. And, you know, that's what we all want for everyone, for every country, for everyone. And, you know, when I see these signs that say support our troops, I say, yes, support our troops, bring them home, give them a job for peace, give them a job, a green job that helps the environment and helps people and uplifts people. And let's remember that everyone in another country, those boys have mamas.
Yeah.
That
absolutely.
They are loved just like we love our boys. I want there to be this such an awakening, John, that people are really loving our one family. And I don't want anybody's babies to get hurt. That's just a mom thing for me.
Yeah, one family. I like that.
Yes, one family. These are our brothers and sisters. and we love them, and they're not exactly like us, you know?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And that's fine and wonderful, and we want them to win. And I just really, I want to go back to the World Healing Day, and I, you know, I'm not sure that it's fallen off, but I noticed that there are not a lot of people in California, since it takes place at 4 o'clock, there are not a lot of people in California that want to get together at that time of night. What time
is it? They did in 86. They were, you know, California, we had more reports from California than almost any other state immediately thereafter. People were getting together in beaches and in mountains and everywhere. Churches were packed, auditoriums. And, you know, up in Seattle, the great arena, the Kingdome, was filled. And so getting up at 4 o'clock in that bed, sometime around the mid-90s, Jan and I flew to Seattle and just to participate at World Healing Day at one of the churches there. And we left our hotel at 3 o'clock in the morning, and got there a little early so that we could participate, and had a magnificent experience there in Seattle. And the people were so wide awake and so filled with joy and love, and it was just wonderful. And then, of course, the people in New York, it was easy for them because World Healing Day took place at 7 o'clock. Of course, Jan and I, and the people in Texas, 6 o'clock is not bad either. So it's again, it's dedication. It's wanting to do something to benefit this world and to be of service to this world.
Well, what I was going to say is I've participated in it for years and years when there wasn't an event that was organic and worked for me to go to, but I didn't report it, and you know, and I knew that my neighbors were doing it, but they didn't want to take off their jammies and come over, you know, so I feel like maybe a lot of people have been doing this that have not reported.
You're right. Because people have said to us later, when they come to the workshops of the Mystery School, said that they've been doing it since 1986. And one person told us that he flew in from Germany for our Mystery School. He said that his mother lives in a nursing home, and she has organized the entire nursing home to participate in World Healing Day every year.
Wow.
And, you know, I thought, that's great. That's wonderful. They don't think they're too old to work for peace.
That's so wonderful.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah, I did too.
So how can people best participate?
Well, the way that one reason it was so big in 1986 is because people talked to people. The phones were ringing. We didn't have emails then, see, and letters were flying across the world, and people were talking to people and spreading the word. And people were writing letters to the editors in the newspapers, spreading the word. And they would say, pass it on, let people know. And Religious Science and Unity and Divine Science churches did a magnificent job of talking it up, you know, in their church services and in their activities, and they're still doing it. They're, you know, the churches are still very active in this process, this program. And the Association for Research and Enlightenment, the Edgar Cayce Foundation, they were just really behind it. And but, you know, not just in the United States, ashrams in India, Red Square in Moscow had over 1,000 people participating on December 31st of 86. And it's just amazing how many people participated in so many different countries. And we had a woman from Japan that came and brought a peace pole to where we were living at the time and planted it right there in the forest. And she was saying that they were going to have more than 1 million people participating at World Healing Day. So it just spread like wildfire, Iris. We were just, and, you know, we really didn't have a lot to do with it. When we we published a report in 1987 with all the changes that were taking place, and then in 1988 and 1989, the what we call the miracles that were happening all over the world. We had a letter from a man in California. He said, I hope your ego slows down at some point in time, because it's going to pop one of these days. It's getting so big. And I thought, oh, no, we didn't have anything to do with this. All we did was put the idea out, and people ran with it. And it had nothing to do with John or Jan's ego being a part of it.
No, of course not. And it's, I don't think that that's what he was really saying. I think that he was saying you've expanded your ability to do good by bringing forth these ideas whose time has come, John. I think he's actually admiring you.
Well, thank you, Iris. I hadn't thought of it from that perspective.
I think he was. He was saying, I wish I was doing something, bringing forth that, something that great. And what you and Jan did is birth it. And that's what I mean about great and wondrous partnerships and marriages. I really look at marriages now by the beauty that they produce.
Yeah.
And you and Jan are such fine, wonderful examples of that. And, you know, I was married to my true love and twin flame for 40 years, and we created beauty together. We created goodness for other people. We were a cup of love overflowing to all around us. And people that only knew one of us knew what a heavenly marriage we had.
Yeah.
You know, somebody heard us have a little disagreement over the car one day, and my husband wanted to get an SUV, and I was like, no way, I am not driving one of those. I'm not. And this guy said, I thought your relationship was perfect. And I said, it is, and we're not getting an SUV.
Good for you. Good for you.
But he didn't even know me. He knew Jerry casually, and he said that. You know, and I was like, I feel that whole thing when Jan just says, John. It's just the way she says it. It contains everything. And that's one of, I think that that's the heart's desire of so many people, to have that kind of a relationship. You know?
Yeah. I told you a while ago that we were married 56 years. Actually, we were married in 1952. So in 2010... I guess that means we've been married 58 years.
Wow. Congratulations.
Yeah, yeah. Goodness gracious. I feel like a little kid. I played my sandbox all morning.
I know. You know, as soon as people found out that you were going to be on Miracles Happen, I started getting emails for you, for questions for you. And two of them were from, you know, some really illustrious way showers, and one of them is Leonard Orr, who created the rebirthing process with Sandra Ray, and he said to ask you if you still believe in physical immortality.
Physical immortality.
Right.
Is that? I believe all things are possible. You see, I don't discount anything. I've had people say, well, my philosophy is such and such, relating, you know, to their experience and their history. And I've said, hey, that's cool. I like it. But I don't have a very fixed, definite perspective on everything. It's only what I have experienced myself that I can say, I know this to be a fact. And as far as physical immortality goes, there's been a lot of people for the thousands of years who have said that this is a truth, this is a fact, and not to discount it. So that's my feeling. All things are possible.
Woohoo! And there we have it, Leonard. I think Leonard is going to be on next week.
Oh, I tell you, he is a magnificent soul.
Yes,
he really is.
And we got an email from another magnificent soul in Mount Shasta, the creator of the Mount Shasta magazine and the organizer for the WESAC festival there.
Ooh, yeah.
And the organizer for Meals on Wheels, and let's see, she has a few other projects. Oh, she does a Thanksgiving dinner at the park there in Mount Shasta. That's just a gift to anyone who wants to come.
God bless. That's fantastic.
Yeah.
That's wonderful.
Yeah, it's very, very lovely. A lot of people go there to both serve and eat in the Thanksgiving celebration. So, and her name is Dawn Fazende, and she said, "Have John and Jan been in Mount Shasta?"
No, I wish we had. I wish I could have said yes, yes, and we absolutely loved it. But we haven't had that opportunity yet. But I know that we will at some point in time.
Well, you know, there's a whole group of people that are rooting for you to come and speak at the WESAC Festival in May every year. It's like people just, John Randolph Price, we want to hear him. We want to hear what he has to say. They want to do your workshops. And so I just want you to know that there are some people that are rooting for you to get here, John.
Well, I'll talk to Jan and we'll see what we can do. The spring is usually pretty tough for us because it's planned, you know, a year or so in advance.
Yeah.
But we'll see what we can do.
Well, I just wanted you to know there's a lot of calling from that area.
Well, that's one of the high lights on this planet. What is coming out of that area right there and those beautiful souls right there is phenomenal. And whether I know they know this. They know that their light, their love, their radiance is being felt beyond the borders that they perhaps have erected in their minds, because they are a very, very loving, powerful, magnificent group of people.
Wow. That was great. I'm moving there, you know.
Are you really?
Yeah. I am. And it's a whole different experience. It's a whole different experience to be there.
Well, this is what we've heard from so many people, that it is a different experience, yes.
Yeah, so, you know, I guess you've been formally informed that the mountain is calling you. And do what's the most fun. Well, we have about 12 more minutes. What do you want to talk about, John?
Well, one thing that there's two things. When we were giving a talk out in Arizona at the INTA Congress, we were wrapping up and they wanted to do the peace song. And I said, before we do this, let's look at what really comes before peace. And I said, it's love. I said, love is the basic foundation stone of the entire universe. And we cannot have peace on earth without love. And I mentioned that a dream that I have, and I've shared this with you before, Iris. When we first started Cordis, there was a little dip in the finances. We didn't have any money, we were a little bit concerned about that. And I'd done a lot of, you know, treatment and prayer and meditation and so forth, and nothing happened. The divine telephone lines were all busy. And I had a dream, and this very, very elderly-looking man came to me, put his hand on my shoulder, and said, "John," and I love that when they use my name, "if you would only love more, every limitation in your life would vanish." Well, when I woke up, I thought, this is a life-changing experience. And Jan and I began to love everything. We made a game of it. We loved the refrigerator, the stove, the ceiling, the floor. We loved the dogs. We loved the presence of God within. We loved ourselves. We loved the water coming out of the shower. We radiated love to everything that we could find and see and even think of. And our lives changed dramatically. Things happened that we To this day, we can't understand, except that we know that it was the understanding and the wisdom of Spirit providing everything. So back to this meeting out in Arizona. The whole idea of peace, and we can go back to the ancient wisdom teachings. You know, they taught that before we could have comfort, before we could have a lack of confusion, before we could have stability and security in life, we must have love, that everything springs forth from love. And so I say one of the things that we're going to be talking about in 2010, 11, and 12 is let's get that love vibration going again. It's out there, but people have put it in a cage and locked the door. We need to love more. And Jan was in the grocery store this morning, and she was over the produce, where the corn and the lettuce and cabbage and everything, and two men were arguing, and a woman came up and she joined the argument. And Jan walked up and said, "Hey, that cabbage resents that. Don't talk to that lettuce that way. Love it." Well, their eyes got as big as saucers, and she walked away.
What were they arguing about, cabbage?
Yeah, one of the men put his arm around the other man and said, "I think we've been told off." So I would say, if we want peace on earth, let's love more. And another thing, peace and prosperity go together, because we must have a prosperous world. This is a world of plenty, plenty. And, you know, there are no limitations. You know, Spirit is forever expressing as the fulfillment of abundance. But the law becomes us. The great creative mind that is the law of Spirit takes on our thoughts, takes on our emotions, and reproduces them in the phenomenal world of effects. And if we're constantly worrying about money, then the law is going to make sure we have more to worry about.
The great law is going
to make sure that we have more needs to worry about.
Well, also, we're focusing on the effect, which has dwindling power and energy.
That's right.
We're giving it our power. We're giving something outside ourselves power over us.
That's right.
Which is serving the other master.
Mm-hmm. And when we wake up, so to speak, and say, look, I'm going to love more. I'm going to think more abundantly. I'm going to understand my worthiness. Because this is the downfall of so many people, and pardon the use of that expression, because they don't think of themselves as worthy of being loved, worthy of having a good, right livelihood, worthy of having money. And that's shutting the door again. So we must think about how worthy we are. We are God in expression. We are expressions of God. And if that doesn't show us our worthiness, nothing would. And, you know, it's getting our heads on straight and getting our hearts open and living the kind of life that we were created to live.
Well, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you.
No, that's fine.
Well, I want to ask a question here, because this is a place where I've gotten stuck, and I feel like a lot of seekers have gotten stuck. I will look and look and look at my deepest truth, and what I keep coming to is that I choose to have everything in my mind, my body, my home, my finances, my relationship, my world glorify God. And
yes.
Where I've gotten stuck is sort of like that thing that Werner would say is to get where you want to go, choose where you are. The only problem is only an asshole would choose this. Well, it got to this point with a lot of things where I was down, say about money, like you were talking about the beginning of the Cordis Foundation, and I've said, well, this obviously is not glorifying God. This is not God's will. What am I doing here? And you know what my I Am Presence said to me about that?
What?
That whatever was going on, if I was giving praise, love, and gratitude for it just the way it was, I am glorifying God, and I am giving God a free hand to transform it.
Good.
So that comes back to your loving it.
Yes.
You see what I'm saying? But
I thought
you might like to talk a little bit more about that, because I think it's been a major sticking point for people. It's like, how can this possibly be glorifying God? I mean, my body looks like this. I keep obsessively eating like this, or I, you know.
Well, you know, I'm not a Bible scholar, but there is something in the Bible, I can't tell you where it is. It says, give thanks for everything, no matter what is going on, no matter what is seen and what is felt and what is heard, give thanks for everything. And that goes back to that gratitude, and it, which to me is a part of love. And Jan and I make a practice. We don't want to get out of bed in the mornings until we feel that love, that gratitude, that joy before we put our feet on the floor. And I told someone that, and they said, I wouldn't get up until 3 o'clock in the afternoon. But it's an amazing thing when we can start our day with gratitude for everything, no matter what is going on in the body, no matter what is going on with the bank or the IRS or whatever. I am grateful to God, to that spirit within me, for all of the miracles, for the magnificent life that is here as a part of my divine inheritance. And I look out our east windows facing east. There's low hills everywhere. And as I look at those low hills, I think, that's a part of God's creation. I see the abundance of the oak trees everywhere. And it sort of sets the pace for the day. So I admire you and for your way of giving thanks, your gratitude for no matter what is going on, because that really does change lives.
Well, it's also putting your attention on the source of all perfection.
Yes, yes.
And that's what you're talking about, this loving more, just loving the way it is instead of resisting it or judging it or saying this is bad, saying, you know, God, I know you only send good. I know you only send gifts. I don't see what this is for. It looks right now like something I'd like to return to Nordstrom for cash. But I know this isn't a fully revealed gift yet.
Oh,
and, yeah. Yeah. And
I love the way you think.
I love the way you think.
Oh, goodness, goodness. You know, life is good, and life is supposed to be good. And, you know, I had a letter just recently for someone that said, we're supposed to have these terrible, terrible, horrible experiences in life in order to show us or bring us closer to God. And I'm thinking, oh, come on. You know, we don't have to suffer in order to find happiness in life.
Well, that's making God dependent on evil, too.
That's right. That's right.
Which
yeah.
We do not.
We're here to love life. To live, love, laugh, and be happy. And that's why we're here, and that's what we're doing.
Woo! Yeah. Live, love, laugh, and be happy. Well,
yeah.
That's what I'm really wishing for people for the holidays and for 2010 and for this planet. To live, love, laugh, and be happy. And you know, the other thing is to fly free. And I don't know if you know this story about Annalise Guérin, but she made her ascension, and then she came back, she appeared to her husband, who was a New York City policeman, and you can imagine how far his consciousness was from this instruction she gave him, but she said, you can make your ascension in 6 months, and this is the way you do it. Everything that you see, give praise, love, and gratitude to God for it. If you step in dog poop, whatever happens, say, thank you, God. I love you, God. I know you only send good. And he did. He made his ascension in 6 months, and then they appeared to groups of people and taught. They would appear in the room. They would disappear. They would come and go from their body at will. And what I really want, John, is for everyone to fly free.
Yes.
to just fly free.
I love that, yes.
All of us know that feeling in our hearts, what that is. And I feel like I've gone over time. I get so excited when you're with us. I hope you'll come back soon.
Holler, just holler.
I will. And I will do everything I can to spread the word, whatever you're sending out for World Healing Day.
Yes.
Please forward it to me. I'll remind people every show. And I just love you, and I love Jan with all my heart. I thank you for being here.
She loves
here.
You too, darling. Have a beautiful, beautiful holiday.
You too, and all of you who are listening, thank you for being us. God bless you, and may all your dreams come true and be 1,000 times more wonderful than you ever dreamed possible. May you fly free from all limitation and live forever in the peace that was meant to be. Happy trails to you until we meet again. Happy trails to you. Keep shining until then. Happy trails to you till we meet again. I love you. And this is my wish for you, that all your dreams come true and are 1,000 times more wonderful than you ever dreamed possible. Amen, women, children, and yeehaw!